We hear again some of the verses from our gospel reading from Luke 14. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or banquet, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they can't repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, there's nothing more scandalous to a false teacher of the law than the good news that Jesus brings. Nothing is more destructive to those who use the law to coerce, manipulate, and control other people than the free gift of forgiveness that Jesus has come to distribute to those bound up, those crushed by all that sin brings. Those under guilt, shame, sickness, poverty, addictions, and all kinds of physical ailments are easy to manipulate. They're desperate to find a way out, a method, a ladder to climb, anything to get them out of their situation. All false religions and teachings are rooted in this coercion and manipulation of the law. On the other hand, where people are absolved from sin, the forgiveness that Jesus delivers destroys all the guilt, the condemnation, the shame. It's removed, and all its fleshly works. The gospel rightly proclaimed is a serious problem for those who use the law to control those around them and those who even try to profit from this false teaching. A person who doesn't need the false teacher's legal program or scheme or self-help steps is a threat to their grasp for power and control. So we see Jesus come against these false teachers in this morning's gospel reading. The Pharisees with whom Jesus is eating are critically watching him to see if they can control Jesus, checking out whether he could be on their team or not. Jesus isn't hiding from these men, but he's eating with them in the house of the chief ruler of the Pharisees. We read in Luke 14:2, and they were watching him very carefully. They'd already tried to get him out of their territory. Chapter 13, right before this, they told Jesus, "Get away from here. Herod wants to kill you." He won't leave. So now they're watching him with malicious intent, so to speak, with contempt. And if Jesus won't join them, he has to go. But Jesus, undeterred, continues his work of giving gifts, forgiving sinners, healing the sick, casting out demons, and preaching his gospel, the good news for all sinners. And he's doing so all as he's heading to the cross. He's going to give himself for all sinners, including false teachers of the law. Instead of running away, Jesus eats with these men this day. And two things are recorded here, specifically by Luke, in our text. First, a man with dropsy. We call it edema, a painful, agonizing condition of swelling, excess water in the body, is there with Jesus. Jesus heals him while asking the Pharisees and teachers of the law whether or not it's lawful to do so. Maybe this guy was planted by the Pharisees. We don't really know. We can maybe infer it. But either way, Jesus loves and cares for this man, and that's certain. Luke 14, 3 through 6. Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having an ox or a son that's fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they couldn't reply. So after helping this man, Jesus exposes these false teachers' abuse of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath, which is instituted by God at creation, instituted as a gift or a blessing for man to hear and receive his word. This great day of blessing has been turned by these false teachers into another opportunity for them to gain prestige power, control over other people. These men seek to justify themselves before God with their own goodness and parade their good works and piety before other people. But when Jesus questions whether it's lawful to help someone who's suffering or hurting, any neighbor on this day, they're speechless. In fact, after this healing, they're silent. They don't even give thanks. Well, is it lawful on the Sabbath to heal or not? This is rhetorical. So Jesus answers, telling, as he does often, a parable. Now, this isn't just a parable about where to sit at a dinner, even though he does talk this way, but it's a parable. In other words, it stands and gives us much more than what's at the surface. Jesus is telling these false teachers and all of us who we really are and who he really is and why he has come. He has come not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for all sinners. No one's left out. He's not come to set himself up in some high position, but Jesus has come in the weakness of our flesh, as our brother. He has come to serve all of us, including self-righteous people who are puffed up and arrogant. So Jesus says this to him: when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus exposes these false teachers of the law and all of us as those who take what has not been given to us. In other words, he exposes our unbelief and instead gives us the life of faith, that of receiving gift. These teachers of the law have it backwards. They've turned the Sabbath into a day about their doing, about their good acts, showmanship, some kind of climbing, ascending, upwards. And they use the Sabbath as an opportunity to show how spiritual they are, what a great person they are. And they wrongly see the divine service as their service toward God, their sacrifice. Jesus, however, is giving us all to see the opposite. He is showing us the connection of humility and the life of faith. Through Jesus' preaching of the law, he brings these religious leaders and all of us to an end of ourselves, our own striving, our own doing. And he teaches the impossibility of human achievement and ascension to God. The faithful preaching of the law shuts you and I up. Like the Pharisees, we too have no room for boasting, parading our good works, or taking any credit for being brought into his feast, into his service. But Jesus, who has come to give a new word to us, not just repeat Moses, Jesus always preaches the law, not as the end, but always towards the gospel, towards the forgiveness of sins. And in this parable, ultimately, he is teaching us about how he serves us and all sinners, everyone. There would have been no need for the Son of God, as we confessed in the Creed, to take upon human flesh, to be born of a virgin, suffer and die on a cross, if he'd just come to give us some life lessons or be some kind of example. So here, Jesus destroys all attempts at simply moralizing him. In destroying all our attempts at ladder climbing, our schemes of self-improvement, Jesus is lovingly crushing our false religion. He gives instead to us the life of faith and humility. The life that to the world and human reason looks stupid and absurd. Jesus shows us that our that before God, we are all beggars, poor, lame, blind, unable to help ourselves or do anything that would bring us to God, unable to cleanse ourselves or forgive ourselves, like some people like to say. Jesus gives us to see that he has come for this very reason, because he knows who we are, and yet he loves us with an everlasting love. He came to serve, cleanse the helpless, the sinner, the one who can't help himself. And in his mercy, he alone justifies, makes alive those who are dead in their own trespasses and sins. He does it with a word. He speaks it, and it happens. And so Jesus stands in the midst of sinners, taking all our sin upon himself to turn us or repent us from our foolish attempts at justifying ourselves again and again. And yet it is Jesus who brings this word to you. He's not a God who's far off, distant, not involved in your life, but he is near to us. He's near to the brokenhearted. And so Philippians 2 says, Jesus, who though he was in a form of a God, didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And so his finished work on the cross, the gospel, the true Sabbath rest, is now brought to you this morning, whether you know it or not. Not simply through your serving God or because of something you did this morning or today, or even how you maybe sang or spoke the liturgy in the service, but because of his descent to you and to me. This is what he does. This is why he's come. For Jesus is truly present here, even this morning in his service. He brings his cleansing word from the cross right to us. He's won it all. It is finished. And he did it in your place and in my place. And through preaching, through the hearing of his word, through the sacraments, he delivers in certainty this work to you. And he now gathers us to his Holy Supper in just a minute. And he continues to give the forgiveness of sins, the gift of faith, keeping and sustaining you to life everlasting. And in the divine service, all striving towards God ceases. All of our attempts at becoming more holy or more good, they're removed, that we might receive the fullness of his giving, his service, that we would be cleansed, washed white as snow, and receive true Sabbath rest, not through our doing or law keeping, but as pure gift received through faith in Christ alone. He gathers all who are weary and carry the heavy burdens of sins to receive this finished work, even now, that we might find true rest, Sabbath, in Jesus alone. In the name of Jesus, amen.